May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the earliest days of Jesus' ministry, he was inviting people in to living a life a different way. While Jesus had thoughts and principles that are radical even to this day, it is the way of living that he offers that is truly world-changing. Jesus didn't simply invite people to change their thoughts or ideas or have interesting thoughts in a new way on a topic. He proposes that we shape our lives and live in relation to one another in a profoundly different way. And when we do that, Jesus says to us, we make way for God to change the whole world. And then Jesus showed us what this way of living looks like. And it ends on a cross. That is the consequence of living life the way that Jesus invites us to live it. It ends on a cross. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. And the consequences of living that way have been, for many Christian witnesses, death. We have, down through the centuries, misinterpreted these words of Jesus, sometimes quite deliberately, reading them as if Jesus was saying to us, oh, just keep your head down. Just don't rock the boat. Just don't be bad children. Just suffer silently in the face of oppression. And we have said to abused men and women around the world, Jesus says to you, just be quiet and it will all be fine in the end. This is not actually at all what Jesus was saying. Jesus did not intend to give his disciples tips on how to live a quiet, obedient life. Nor did he intend to tell them, to teach them how to fit in and be good and protect themselves in the face of violent oppression. These are not good tips for being safe. If you want tips for being safe, these are not the words of Jesus to use as your tools. They are guidelines for living a radically different, liberated life in the face of oppression, free from fear of the punishment that will almost certainly result as a consequence of this behavior. We have to remember the context in which Jesus was saying these things. In the context in which Jesus was saying these things, Pontius Pilate was ruling Judea with an iron fist on behalf of Rome. He was famously violent, cruel, and manipulative. He delighted, we have contemporaneous sources from the day who tell us that he delighted in acts of violence against innocent bystanders as a way to make a point. He made example of people in cruel and horrific spectacles. He aspired for the perfect docility and submission of the people as his sign of power and dominance. But in fact, Judea was known in Rome as a troublesome province, and the Jews were famously hard to govern. And so for Pontius Pilate, when he took that posting, this was like the challenge post. This was like sending a new teacher into a room full of gifted students, closing the door and hoping that he or she emerges alive an hour and a half later. For Pontius Pilate, Judea's reputation as a hard-to-govern province made his drive for dominance even more passionate. And he delighted and he aspired to prove his skill in governing by subduing the people completely in every way that he could, This was what life was like in Judea, in Jerusalem, when Jesus was saying these things, when Jesus stood up in front of the people and said these things, when he stood up in front of the people and taught them about nonviolent resistance. And I imagine on that day, I mean, this is the Sermon on the Plain in the Gospel of Luke. It matches the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. These are some of the famous, most famous things that Jesus says. This is like the heart of his message. And we have remembered it all these years later because it is still shocking and stunning to us. And I think we also remember it all these years later because of the power and the charisma that comes through in his words as we imagine him preaching this way. I imagine that he was filled on that day with this strange and charismatic power as he preached this message. He was not counseling passivity in the face of Roman power. On the contrary, he knew that violent resistance would never work. And in truth, it had been tried against Rome, and it would be tried again. And violent resistance against Rome by the Jews never succeeded in overturning the power of Rome. He knew it wouldn't work. He is not counseling violence, and he's not counseling passivity. On the contrary, he is inspiring in them what one commentator calls a highly aggressive nonviolent approach against the power of Rome. He is inspiring them a stubborn, determined, passionate, love-filled resistance to being oppressed. He is handing them in that moment the perfect weapons to get under the skin of the maniac in Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate. And nothing frustrates a maniac with a drive for dominance quite like someone who is unafraid of them. And because Jesus was unafraid of Pontius Pilate, and because he was leading others into freedom from their fear, it was perfectly obvious and inevitable that Jesus was going to be killed. And those who have lived out these principles in similar circumstances, it has been obvious and inevitable that power would push back against them and would seek to kill them. We make the mistake of thinking that Christianity, for many of us here in North America, that Christianity amounts to something that makes us feel nice and that marks out Sunday as an enjoyable day of the week. But for people living under oppression, for people living under abuse, for people who are living elsewhere in the world, for whom this faith will get them killed, these circumstances teach us that Christianity has a power. It has a promise. It has a call in our lives that can dramatically change who we are and can call us both into much, much deeper experiences of faith and can call us into much, much deeper experiences of what most of us would call fear and danger. But Jesus walked that path without fear. He went without fear to meet Pontius Pilate and to meet the crowds who feared for their lives if Pontius Pilate were to turn against them. They were afraid. Jesus was unafraid. He met with love and understanding these people who would be the ones to kill them, knowing that they would do so because they were afraid. And Jesus met them with a perfect forgiveness of who they were and for all they were so obviously and inevitably going to do to him out of their fear. And so they strung him up on the cross to make an example of him and to make other people afraid. But his will was not shaken, and his love was not swayed. And they tortured him. But he was never broken. And he died there to the end, unafraid and loving and forgiving. And so he broke the power of sin and death. And then God raised Jesus from the dead to bring us all from fear of death and imprisonment under power into life and freedom in his name. These words of his that we read today are how we follow him to break the cycle of fear and oppression. And still to this day, they are challenging, life-changing, world-changing words. And it is right that we might be afraid of them. What he proposes is not for everyone. Not every Christian has a calling to martyrdom, though some do. Not every Christian has a calling into this kind of bravery that Jesus speaks to them about. And he even spoke to this crowd of thousands of people, knowing without a doubt that not all of them would have this calling either. I mean, actually, on the day of his death, he was pretty close to being entirely alone because of the fear of the people. Still to this day, we are afraid of power. And we are afraid of what power can do to us, and rightly so. It is not wrong to be afraid of it. And still to this day, we use the power that we have, and we seek power in order to make ourselves feel safe. And still to this day, there is power in the world, and power in our own communities, and power in our own daily experiences that makes us afraid. Now, we want to be safe. This is a normal human desire. We want to be safe. We want to be good. We don't want to live in fear. We want everything to be okay. And yet we are afraid. We are afraid of that boss that we just don't really trust, and we don't know how she will use her power against us. We are afraid of that coworker who has those huge emotional reactions when things go wrong. We are afraid that someone will be offended by something that we've done, even if we never meant for it to be offensive, especially us Canadians. We're very afraid of that. We're afraid of what someone might do if they thought or if they knew what our weaknesses are. We are afraid what will happen if we do something wrong, what the punishment will be. We are afraid we won't be trusted. We are afraid we won't be welcome here, and we won't be allowed to stay. And some people in this congregation have lived through the experience of being tangibly afraid for their physical safety, and some have faced violence and the possibility of death. We have been hurt, and we don't want to be hurt again. Jesus knows this about us, and he meets us in our fears with love, with tenderness, with compassion. Jesus knows that there are things in the world worth being afraid of, and Jesus knows how that fear can beat us down. Jesus knows how that fear can lead us not to stand in solidarity with others, how that fear can lead us to protect ourselves by harming other people instead. Jesus knows what we have done in the name of fear, and he meets us here with forgiveness just the same. He meets us here and calls us into new life. He calls not everyone to martyrdom and the heights of Christian discipleship, but he calls each one of us to a life with a little less fear, knowing exactly where we are and what our needs and what our abilities and what our tolerances are for this. Jesus calls us to take one small step into a life with less fear so that more space in our lives can be filled with love. For the measure that you give will be the measure that you receive. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And the more of our hearts that we bring before Jesus and allow him to transform, the more he will fill our lives with love and compassion and forgiveness, and the more we will overflow into the world. And Jesus allows us to make that choice. But he will never stop calling. I don't want to frighten anyone, but this Lent, fear is going to be our theme. So please don't stop coming to church for Lent in order to avoid that. We will just do it very, very gently. We will do it very compassionately. We will do it in a very non-scary movie sort of way, okay? There won't be any jump scares. We're going to use this idea and this wonderful book by this man named Michael Harvey. Michael Harvey talks about how we invite people to come to church. And he speaks into the terrifying fear that most of us have, that we might know that it would be nice to invite somebody to church. We might even have somebody in mind. We might even have gotten halfway into the conversation with them. But he knows that most of us are terrified of actually saying the words, "I quite enjoy my church. Would you like to come with me on Sunday?" It's so frightening. And he has this wonderful respect for that fear. Not this way of saying, no, just don't be afraid, just whatever, be brash and bold, but this wonderful respect for that fear. He has this beautiful image that God hardly ever calls anybody in Scripture to do something that doesn't scare them just a little bit. He uses this as an example of something that scares us just a little bit. On the whole order of possible things to be afraid of in life, having a fairly friendly conversation with somebody in which you don't actually mind whether they say yes or not is not really a terribly dangerous thing to do. And he invites us to take very, very small and gentle steps towards learning how to trust God a little bit more in order to just be a little bit more willing to give something like that a try. That's the book for our Lenten study. And we are going to continue exploring God's call in our lives to take small steps of trust towards learning that we don't need to be so afraid of all kinds of different things. That's going to be our theme for Lent. How to follow Jesus, little itty-bitty step by little itty-bitty step into a world beyond the fears that bind us now, where we can learn to make a lot more space for love. Love to enjoy and love to share. So may God bless us as we take a deep breath and prepare to follow Christ. Amen.